Yes, I added sleigh bells.
Oh.
You know, we're just getting seasonal.
Getting festive.
You know? Yeah. Yeah. That was public domain sound effect. Oh. I'm very thrilled to see that a lot of Christmas carols are public domain, so I can start busting those out for free.
Oh.
Very exciting time.
So you didn't go out of your, you didn't get sleigh bells yourself? And
no. No, although that was purchased off of, or not purchased, but like taken off of a public domain website. So,
oh, nice.
Happy Thanksgiving, hoes.
Exactly. So, yeah, we're doing a special Thanksgiving episode here for the holiday. We're going to do a Thanksgiving movie. A lot of people may not realize this is a Thanksgiving movie, but The Last Waltz, documentary by Martin Scorsese. So,
about or by?
By Martin Scorsese. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, it's set Thanksgiving Day, 1976. Legendary band, The Last Waltz. Legendary band,
The band.
Yeah. played their final concert at the Winterland Ballroom, San Francisco, on that day. Even though they later, like, got back together in a different form, that group never got back together. Right. Those original musicians.
Did they reform as a band?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They just changed their indefinite article at the beginning of it. They actually, the main guy, Robbie Robertson, never played with them again. And then, so they hired other guitar players, other songwriters, and they brought them in.
Was that the guy that, like, you thought was the main character the whole time?
Yeah,
he
was like, that was like, he was like death.
Staged as fuck.
The one who was like compelling and like had a good speaking voice.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Most charismatic in the group. Yeah. Mm. And that was a big complaint and a source of bitterness later was they felt that Scorsese and Robbie Robertson, he's the lead songwriter and lead guitarist. They felt that they edited the documentary to favor him.
Oh, yeah.
And they totally do.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, half of the people in the band, when they talk, you're just like, oh, this person is spaced.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, like Wolfman. Damn it. What's his name?
Garth Hudson.
Yeah. Yeah. The piano man.
Oh, that's a Richard Manuel.
Yeah. Yeah, the piano dude was on drugs. I mean, I think the whole entire time.
Oh, wait, I think they were.
Which one is Wolfman? Is Garth?
Richard Manuel is the wolf guy you're thinking about. Garth Hudson is the organist. So they have a piano player and an organist.
Okay, yeah.
So, and they're both
not okay.
Bizarre looking people.
Yes. Yeah.
It was the 70s.
Yeah.
I know, right? So everything was just normal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how most rock bands looked. Very homely.
Yeah. God.
But yeah, that was a source of bitterness for them after the band broke up, was they felt that it favored him. Robbie Robertson, Scorsese became really good friends after that, and Robbie Robertson like provided the music to a ton of Scorsese's movies after that, in the 80s and 90s. Kind of served as a musical director for a lot of Scorsese movies. So they became buddies, and I think it made the other guys in the band feel shortchanged in this documentary. So, yeah. So, basically, that started out originally. Robbie Robertson wanted to disband the group and end it. And so, he goes to a guy named Bill Graham, who's this big rock manager, who, interestingly enough, would later die in the same helicopter crash that killed Stevie Ray Vaughan. They were both in the same chopper.
Shit.
Yeah, in 1990. So, they ask Bill Graham to organize this gig at the Winterland Ballroom, which is where they played their first gig as the band. So they originally started out backing up a guy who was in the documentary named Ronnie Hawkins, who was like supposedly the Canadian Elvis Presley, which whatever that means. They backed him up for a while, and then Bob Dylan hired them whenever he wanted to go from being a folk singer to having a full rock sound.
That's the guy that sings Who Do You Love, the Ronnie Hawkins?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so...
And they backed up Bob Dylan at Woodstock, right?
I believe so. They backed him up for years on tour, and they eventually got big enough on their own that they branched off and became the band.
The band.
Yeah. And they kind of became legendary in their own right. They branched off. They did their debut album, which was Music from Big Pink, which was the name of their studio in upstate New York near Woodstock. And so then they did their second album, just called The Band. Another big selling. I mean, they were like on Beatles level of selling records at that point. They were a huge act. And then they kind of slowly tapered off sales, quality, all that kind of stuff. And so by this point, Robbie Robertson, who was the main songwriter, was burned out and wanted to quit. So he decided he was done. And so they decided to do this documentary. It was originally going to be the band and maybe like Ronnie Hawkins and Bob Dylan. And that was it. But it grew to include all these famous people, all these like rock legends. It became like it was a 5-hour concert. Had featured 50 songs. It was a triple album. It was huge.
Yeah.
So, but then they edited it down, Scorsese did, for about 2 hours. for this film. And he interspersed it with interviews, mostly with Robbie Robertson. There's some Levon Helm, the drummer.
Yeah, I dig Levon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a cool dude.
Yeah.
And great singer. And the big beef after they broke up was between Robbie Robertson and Levon Helm, who argued that his contribution and the rest of the band, but mainly like his singing voice, was kind of the voice of the group, when he's not wrong.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the argument of like Robbie Robertson's like, I wrote the songs, and then Levon's like, I sang them better than anybody else.
Also, do you know how hard it is to drum and sing at the same
time?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
guitar cool. and sing, fine, whatever, but drum and sing.
Yeah.
Oh. Sum 41. They killed it. They were a phenomenal drummer. That drummer could sing.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, especially when you're like Levon, you can sing and play it like that. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
It was impressive.
Very impressive.
That's one of my favorite films. So it was set on Thanksgiving Day. They provided 5,000 turkey dinners to the crowd. Cooked. The people showed up with tuxedos.
How extensive was the turkey dinner? I mean, are we just talking like just turkey and mashed potatoes?
I'm going to guess it was not real fancy.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you got to soak up all those booze and drugs, so it's got to be something substantial.
Were yams involved? Were there marshmallows melted on top?
I'm gonna have to check IMDb, but I'm pretty sure they had yams.
Okay,
so we can't verify that yet, but we will.
I just imagine a very like a prison-esque meal. It's like you got the tray, you get a scoop of turkey, a scoop of potatoes. Like you can't scoop like turkey,
ice cream
you get
scoop.
A scoop yeah. of turkey. It was like that's what you get.
What was the bathroom situation on site like? Ooh.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, you got to imagine all that tryptophan and what, LSD. That's a,
Was it seated or was it standing only? Because all the crowd shots, I couldn't tell if people were standing or sitting.
And it's unusual because they show very few crowd shots
yeah.
in this. You don't hardly see the crowd except like, and when you do, they're mainly like in dark lighting. You know, you barely can register that there's a crowd there.
Because I was watching some of the like video of the actual concert, just like, you know, not Scorsese's, but like, hey, there's like some video of the concert. And yeah, I don't think you ever see fans.
Yeah.
People do it with like a cell phone cam?
Yeah. It was iPad. They had an angled holder right up.
Oh,
yeah.
Worse.
Yeah.
So one of my favorites, I'm curious to see your guys' reactions. Have you seen it before? And if not, what'd you think of it this first time?
Yeah.
So Tay.
I had not seen it before. Knew what it was. I had seen clips of it, knew of the film. I knew the band,
mm-hmm.
liked the songs. And this was the first time watching it. And I liked it. It's a documentary,
mm-hmm.
so I did zone out a few times, but it was very interesting. I like seeing stuff. To me, it was just a very serious Spinal Tap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was like, yeah, it was just yeah. like it's just it was like a
I
real it was like a very serious one, and mm-hmm. I was like, man, it's so crazy to be like, this is what happened in the 70s, and everyone's just so nonchalant, but like mm-hmm. everyone kind of looks fucked up.
Then they were,
and yeah, and it's like everyone just like looks, you know, and I was like, what is going on in this? But it was just in my mind, I'm like, that's just what was going on. Like, I could see them doing drugs, being like, oh, let's do one more take because you got some, you know, booger sugar, mm-hmm. you know, kind of like what Neil Young. Yeah. But, you know, was it 1970? What'd you say it was?
76.
76, yeah. I mean, you know, Scorsese did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
As much as he bitches and complains now about movies or other people, but it's like, I thought it was a good film.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it. It was like very Spinal Tap kind of feel to me, even though I love that film.
Yeah.
But, you know, I thought, was it a little too long? Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
It was like kind of dragged on, but I wish there was kind of more behind the scenes stuff, you know, but I love, that's the kind of stuff I like. But yeah, I thought it was a good film. Would I watch it again? Maybe not, but I would say it was a very good documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I do love some good documentaries, and this was, I would say, up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would recommend it. Would I watch it again? Probably not.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the music was great too. And some people do say I look like a young Levon Helm.
Yeah.
Ooh. You know, yeah. I've always said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can see that.
No, yeah. I mean, you have more, you have cuter
well,
features.
A fat Levon Helm. It's like, yeah.
But with better lungs.
You're more adorable. Yeah. Yeah. You don't smoke nearly as many cigarettes
no.
as Levon Helm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rest in peace.
Yeah. Yeah.
Trav, what are your thoughts?
So I have seen this before. I've seen it at least twice, I think.
Oh my gosh.
And I think Tay's right. Like it's great to watch once, maybe twice. You know, it was some years between watchings, but I definitely listen to like Spotify albums like all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and it's great to listen to the extended albums too. But before I had seen this, I had never seen Van Morrison before.
Mm-hmm.
And I was unaware that he was just like a, you know, skinnier, uglier, less funny, like Chris Farley. It could have been his brother. Like, he has an excellent voice, but God, is he ugly. And he's, man, his choice of wardrobe.
And he's an angry little leprechaun. Yeah. Man,
I just, you know, yeah. I'm sure he's a lovely young man.
And that's a great performance he does with Caraman. I mean, he gets into it.
Yeah, that was a cool thing to see. You know, I didn't know that they were going to show all the artists that were on there. Mm-hmm. So that was a cool thing.
Yeah.
Levon's badass. And then you're right. What's Richard Manuel?
Mm-hmm.
Gives a hell of an interview. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to see more of him.
Yes.
I was like, this is a train wreck.
Oh, yeah.
And I want more of it.
Yeah.
He is, yeah. He looks like he's caught in mid transformation becoming the wolf.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't know what is behind his smile, but it is both like sinister and welcoming.
And wonderful. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is he the one whose hair started like slowly gravitating toward the ceiling as he kept playing?
Oh, no, that was a different dude.
That's
that was
Ralph Hudson.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But no, the guy I'm talking about is the guy that's giggling about sliding bologna in his pants. I want to party with that guy.
Yeah.
It's like, did you guys think that their stories were, I mean, a little bit icky?
Oh, yeah.
They made you feel kind of gross.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're going through the studio that used to be a brothel, mm-hmm. and it's just like, you know, you get the feeling these guys have, you know, been with some assorted ladies in their life.
Yeah. They were talking about life on the road, and they were like, yeah, what about the women? I thought we weren't supposed to talk about the women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, God. What did they tell them not to talk about?
Yeah.
Well, anytime you're looking at one of these like documentaries, I don't know. For me, it's I gravitate towards like who's the guy I think is the coolest in the band, or who would I want to hang out with, and that's Levon for mm-hmm. me. He's got the most interesting stories to me, and seeing him drum and sing at the same time, that is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought it was a great documentary. Martin Scorsese seems to. I don't know why he decided to leave in all the edits. He was like, yeah. Oh, man, it makes it feel dirtier, more rock and roll. Just leave it in.
Like that of like them going back and like reshaping the interview like while they're doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting to see because it's like behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But also, I don't know why he left it in, or if he just didn't give him more takes to try it, or how many films he had done prior to this. To be able to get to do this, because obviously he seems to be a mega fan,
mm-hmm.
and he's doing this, and he's just like, man, guys, it's just so cool just to get to hang out.
Yeah,
thanks
yeah.
for letting me.
Yeah, and then, yeah, and I have a thought on that, but we'll get Sean's take.
Yeah, it was my first time seeing it. I was actually really surprised because I grew up watching a lot of like music documentaries. I watched a lot of live concerts. I had like the Led Zeppelin live. Yeah. I had. Like a ton of different like G3 DVDs. You know, this is one that never really hit my radar for some reason. It's actually probably one of the best ones. I kind of roll my eyes at those now because it's just like I'm just watching like 2 to 3 hours of live music at a concert. It doesn't really hit the same if you're not there.
No.
But this was enjoyable because they kind of interspersed a lot of you know, documentaries, a lot of like, you know, questions and interviews. Which kind of breaks up the monotony a lot, and you're not just like watching a concert live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the band hasn't been one of my like big bands that I follow. They kind of fell into like a weird gray area of like, you know, an intersection of music that I didn't really listen to a lot growing up.
Yeah.
But this was kind of the era that my parents were musicians touring around at the same time. And they said a lot of the same stuff. Like, it's hard to be on the road for 16 years. Like, my parents were on the road for 11 years. And that's when they finally decided to stop being musicians and, you know, have a family. But it was really interesting to see that time period documented really well. And God, it was awesome seeing all those different musicians at that age. Because, like,
yeah.
Eric Clapton, you know, yeah. Steve Young, Joni Mitchell. It was just really cool.
Muddy
it was
Waters.
Like Muddy Waters, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really cool to see, you know, all these musicians that we'd always heard about and like listen to studio albums, but it doesn't do it justice because you don't see them live.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Yeah.
I kind of like now having met like your parents' son, I kind of wish they'd stayed on the road.
Same.
I love you. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks.
And so, yeah, it's interesting because I think about.
Damn. Sorry. It's just still soaking in. I was like, damn. Okay. Sorry.
Yeah. Let the ice water wash over you from that.
Don't touch me.
And so it's interesting to see, like, I thought about, like, before I got married, we had a big wedding, hundreds of people. And somebody said something interesting of, like, you need to soak that in because you'll never see the same people in the same room ever again. The same group of friends on both sides together. It'll never happen. And it's like you look out on the stage at the end where you have, like, Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and Eric Clapton and Neil Young and Van Morrison and all the people in the band and Ringo Starr and all these people. It's like, you know, you'd never get that same group of people.
I said Steve Young, didn't I?
Yeah, the same thing. He was a great quarterback, and I loved him because he was left-handed.
Yeah.
I didn't catch it. I don't know sports.
We all knew.
Uh-huh. That's okay.
We knew.
I thought your name was something I didn't know. It was like, did he play tambourine or something?
Yeah. Oh, my God. Can we talk about the Staple Singers?
Yeah.
And how she straight up was, like, playing tambourine without a tambourine?
Because mm-hmm.
that was impressive.
Yeah.
Why didn't catch that?
Yeah, Staple Singers are awesome too.
They're incredible.
That was a refilmed version of The Wait. I guess they weren't wild about the version of The Wait that was in the concert itself, so they came back and filmed it afterwards and did another take of it.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there's no crowd.
Yeah.
Same thing with.
Is that why they never showed the crowd?
With that song, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there's no. I mean, you can kind of see in the background there's nobody there except, like, stage people.
Other than that, there's only two other songs where they weren't playing. There was the one weird last waltz song
at the end, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then one other one, right?
Evangeline with Emmylou Harris.
Okay.
Yeah, which was a good version. And everybody in the band is playing a different instrument than what they normally play during that take.
Yeah, I saw Levon with a... Did he have...
Mandolin.
Mandolin.
Was it a mandolin? Mm-hmm. All right.
Yeah, and then Rick Danko, the bassist, is playing the violin or the fiddle. And then Richard Manuel is playing the drums because he normally plays the piano. And I forget what Garth Hudson... I think Garth Hudson was playing the lap steel guitar. So... And then Robbie Robertson was playing, like, an acoustic fat guitar, which you normally electric lead. So,
cool.
Everybody's playing something different. On the thing about, like, Robbie Robertson and, like, him speaking, like, and then going back, like, him and Scorsese kind of conspiring to go back and reshoot the interview. And I kind of see that. It's interesting because we're going to watch the Get Back documentary with the Beatles. And I kind of, that was, supposedly the Beatles knew that their time was kind of running out as a group. And so they wanted to film that, have that documentary as a chance to kind of shape how they went out.
Yeah.
They wanted to have a concert and, you know, yada, yada. And they wanted to be able to kind of very carefully frame how they went out of together as a
band.
Control
the narrative.
Yeah. And that's kind of how I see Robbie Robertson, where it's like he's very meticulous about, and Scorsese too, of like what he's saying. It's like, oh, that didn't come out right. Let's do it again. And then I think Scorsese made that stylistic choice of let's leave that. I want to show you. Trying to like shape yourself as a artist, you know, shape your legacy.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like there's that kind of insecurity of like, no, I didn't mean to say it. Let's do it again. You know, it's like
ask me that again.
Yeah.
It comes off as him like controlling it though.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
I know. So, yeah. I would be in this power microman. Like, listen, mm-hmm. I'm editing this.
I am the director.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I say cut.
But you don't really see the other musicians doing that at all. Like, you don't see Levon, you know, he's in there smoking cigarettes and he's just. I think he's the best storyteller in the group.
Yeah.
You know, he's got that drawl.
He's someone who's just like drunk by a campfire, just telling stories.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You've got Robbie there and he's like outside himself, looking over his shoulder, thinking about how he's going to be perceived.
What will people think of me?
Yeah.
And
which is what I hate about people when they're having an argument and they're like, oh, I'm going to say this certain thing so I can tell the story about it later. Like I can look outside myself and aim my perspective.
Like that time you said that thing about my parents.
What? Damn it.
But we're going to take a quick break and get some fresh vino, and we will be right back.
Okay.
If you're interested in starting your very own podcast, Blueberry is one of the top hosting companies in the world. You can get your first month free with Blueberry by using the promo code CinemaVino. You can also use the hosting estimator on their site to determine the best plan for you. And don't forget, that's CinemaVino to get your first month free. And we are back.
Hey, so, what is this delightful concoction up here?
These beverages. We are drinking, we started off with the Dr. Loesen Riesling.
Yeah.
Kind of a semi-sweet Riesling.
Yeah.
Pretty fruity, pretty melon flavored. All these are good Thanksgiving wines. They all go really well with the meal. Riesling's a classic pair with Thanksgiving. It's a classic Thanksgiving wine. The Growers Guild.
A white goes good with turkey?
Mm-hmm. It does. Okay. You can do both. You can do red, white, rosé.
Turkey bubble. Is a very versatile meat.
Mm-hmm.
A very versatile bird.
Yes.
Oh.
Oh, it's a bird that can do anything.
Cock-a-doodle-doo.
It's a hell of a gobbler.
Often referred to as a Swiss Army bird.
I don't know. What,
you shut your mouth.
What the hell does that mean?
Is this true?
No, that's not true.
Okay. Well, yeah. I can coin that.
Yeah.
That's my new Twitter handle. Swiss Army bird.
That's your OnlyFans handle. What are you talking about?
The name of this podcast?
SwissArmyBird.com.
I expect royalties from that.
Yeah.
Now, we need to edit that out and just claim that.
I know. It's like, for more movie reviews, follow
SwissArmyBird.com.
I'm sorry. What were we drinking, Todd?
So then we go to the Growers Guild Pinot Noir out of Oregon, the Willamette Valley.
Sorry. That got so fucked up. Sorry. Go on.
And so Pinot Noir is another classic Thanksgiving wine. You can do turkey. Again, with turkey, you can do with ham. It's a classic ham pairing. Pretty much anything Thanksgiving-wise, it will go really well with. Both of those will go well with salad. I mean, you name it. So,
is salad allowed on Thanksgiving?
I would imagine. I wouldn't mind a salad on Thanksgiving, especially just for the sheer volume of meat. It's a nice to have.
Well, and whatever salad it is, it's going to run in with the gravy.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you're having a gravy salad.
Yeah.
It's like the plate just becomes
It's going to mix with just all, like, three kinds of casseroles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Somehow the salad at my house has, like, mayonnaise in it. I don't know. I don't eat it, obviously, because it's fucking vegetables.
I mean, ranch dressing, but there's spicy mayonnaise.
Oh, yeah. Well. Somehow there's mayo and there's apples, and I heard both of those, and I was like, no, thank you.
What's in a Waldorf salad? Anybody know that? Is that like...
That's what it is.
Is that a Waldorf
mayonnaise
salad?
Mayonnaise and apples and Waldorf grapes.
Salad. Yeah.
Oh, that's like a... It's like a pink...
Yeah, is that the ambrosia thing?
That's
or it. Like,
that's
yeah.
the ambrosia salad. You're right.
Yeah. I'd go for that.
Anyway, what are we drinking, Todd?
Waldorf salad.
And then we're doing the Adami Prosecco, for a little bubbly for after the meal.
Or before with mimosas.
Either way, yeah, you could do mimosas.
Makes excellent burps.
Yeah, I feel Prosecco makes a really good mimosa, in my opinion.
Prosecco.
That's one of the best, that's an Italian bubbly.
It's fun to say.
Yeah.
Prosecco. Actually, yeah, the Prosecco would make an excellent after Thanksgiving dinner drink, because that's when you need to burp.
Yeah.
And it works.
That would be an excellent review for a Wine Spectator.
It beat the brakes off Taylor over here.
That should have been recorded, yes.
Yeah, Taylor had a burp that was absolutely, it was like a low E octave burp that drew out for two whole notes. It was amazing.
I dialed 9-1 on my phone, and then I almost hit the one because I was concerned about the burp. But it was good, and I would do it again. It was worth it.
Yeah, you could have a tuning fork and tune that to like your burp.
That laugh hurt my back.
Would have been a big tuning fork.
Bing.
Boom.
So, yeah, the Adami Prosecco is the final thing we're doing. Yeah, it's a really good, I think, the classic, like, Thanksgiving pairing also. It's like you finish your meal, something refreshing, you know, a little bit of bubble to it, and, yeah, it makes there that sound.
Yeah, it's good sound.
Proseccos tend to run on the brut or extra dry sides. They tend to be a little crisper and refreshing. So, yeah, I think a Prosecco is an excellent choice if you're looking for something for after the meal.
No.
And I don't know. I mean, obviously, Thanksgiving is an American thing. I don't know what people celebrate overseas, but, you know, have some turkey and bubbly wherever you are.
Yeah. Do they have the Swiss Army bird in other countries?
I don't know where they even have turkeys, and that might be an American thing, too, you know? But, yeah, hopefully, if you guys have access to the Swiss Army bird... Enjoy it.
Get
on it.
Get it.
Get you a wang.
Turkey wings are underappreciated. Those, they're big.
Yeah.
I like the wang.
Yeah. I know. I agree. No. And that's why they have so much utility.
I like the giblets because they have all the penises and the giant.
Travis, are you saying...
What do you think giblets are?
Yeah. Wait. Travis, like, are you saying also you just eat a bag of giblets that come out of the turkey? Is that what you're doing?
Someone needs to forward Travis what a giblet is.
Why... haven't we watched the like scary movie with Chris Elliott where he stuffs the turkey? Like that is a Thanksgiving thing.
The little
like,
hand.
It's my strong hand.
That is a great Thanksgiving movie.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah.
We're really just that one scene, I guess.
I want to circle.
But it's
back.
Also it's like a Halloween / Thanksgiving.
Well, they're very close.
Yeah, they blur together, especially if you're on a bender. I want to circle back. Did you say that the giblet has all the penises and vaginas?
Yeah, that's a line from Chris Elliott from the Scary Movie. That's not a Travis original.
But very odd thing to interject there. I like it.
You're welcome.
And I say that I'm the guy that said Swiss Army Bird, so there we are.
But you didn't say penises and ginies.
So final thoughts about the movie. What do we think? I love it. I recommend it highly. Especially, I've been watching some lousy movies for the reviews. So it was a nice palate cleanser to watch something enjoyable, especially the good music. I enjoyed how the band could back up almost any musician and play the genre of whatever they're doing, which is an underrated skill.
Yeah.
You know, until you've actually tried to do it. It's like they can back up Muddy Waters or Joni Mitchell or even freaking Neil Diamond.
You bet your balls it's Neil Diamond.
It's like, I got the feeling Neil Diamond just wandered out on the stage accident. It's like, give him a guitar.
Yeah, it's like, fine. Who in the hell? It's like, all right.
Oh, shit, it's Neil Diamond. Yeah. Oh, you want to play? You want to play a set?
It's like, we got Bob Dylan and Eric Clapton and Joni Mitchell and Neil Young. Oh, Neil Diamond. It's like.
Yeah.
I'm just pissed he didn't play Brother Love's Traveling Salvation Show.
Levon probably would have thrown down his drumsticks and walked out.
Yeah. Before.
It's like Neil Diamond's parking cars outside.
Also, why is Van Morrison wearing like Neil Diamond's shirts? I think they switched wardrobe.
That bubbly almost went up my nose. Yeah. That was kind of scary.
Van Morrison just does not care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's interesting is Van Morrison has terrible stage fright. Terrible stage fright. So does Bob Dylan. That's actually why the band plays the song Stage Fright. It's about him. And so, yeah, Van Morrison is notorious for, like, going out there and being like, screw it, I'm not playing, and then leaving, like, before the show. I mean, like, he is that petrified of going on stage, which is weird because he's a rock star.
Yeah.
It's a weird occupation.
Yeah. Sure.
He has the shits.
Yeah, sure.
Ooh.
Also, supposedly...
Ooh, in leather pants?
Ooh. Yeah, not in those purple sequins.
Yeah.
That's for damn sure.
Do you think he would come out the top?
I don't know. That might be stuck on the calf. Like, it starts making its way down, but...
You know, fill a bag.
So some backstage drama that happened before Bob Dylan went out, supposedly, because he was the headlining person guest-wise.
Which seemed rude, but...
Yeah, always. That's his... personality. Mm-hmm. He is a grouchy individual. He declared that he was not going to be filmed right before he took the stage. He said he did not want to be put on camera. And so...
That's about right.
They had to send Bill Graham backstage to talk him into being filmed at the last minute because everybody went into a panic when they... You know, he was like, shut the cameras off. So... Just Bob Dylan being Bob Dylan. And so he agreed to be filmed for two songs. He performed four, but only two are in the movie. So
I'm a little bitch.
Yeah.
I'm not a Bob Dylan fan. I'll just come out and say
that. I've never been, like, I like maybe three songs.
Yeah.
I respect.
I was going to say two.
Yeah. I was like, I respect him as a musician, but it was like, I don't think I would.
He's a great songwriter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Horrible
musician.
Yeah. I was going to say, I respect him as a songwriter. It was like, you know, hey, you know.
Not stacked up against Townes Van Zandt. Damn.
Fair.
I enjoy Bob Dylan's music, but I've heard he's a terrible live show. I've heard he never interacts with his audience.
Yeah.
Well, isn't he one that like is always changing his song? So what you hear live
lyrics,
is like completely different from what you know album.
I've heard like, studio recording. One concert he did, he pretty much just sat at the piano. He didn't even play the guitar. Like he played them completely different. So very cantankerous.
Yeah. I never liked his little soul patch facial hair. And so for that. I'm out.
And for those reasons, I'm out.
It's going to be a no for me, dog. But so my final thoughts. I loved it. This is my at least third time seeing this. But anytime I see like one of these, I fast forwarded through some of the songs because I've heard them so many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I was really interested to see the parts in between with the actual documentary in my mind. But really... What I want to see, just made me want to watch Almost Famous.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like I get that.
The super story behind the story. Like, I need the meat and potatoes.
Yeah.
Of, like, the background, all the drama and the bullshit. That's what I want to see.
Yeah.
If I'm seeing, like, a documentary on a band, like, I want to see all the stuff they don't want me to see.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
I 100% agree with that. I think that's what I was kind of hoping for was, like, again, I knew about the movie, but I never knew what it was about. I think that's what I was kind of hoping. It was more of a all band together, you know, or even, you know, it would have been great. Yeah, it was 1976, but like get everyone together, you know, like everyone just like, oh, like start bouncing stories off of each other. You know, it's like, I don't know. I think behind like everyone, like a behind the scene thing, which there was kind of that, but it's like, that's what I was really, really hoping for.
Yeah.
But what I do love about this movie is the music. Like he was like, that is, to me, that was the best part. I love seeing phenomenal musicians playing music and having a fucking blast.
Yeah.
Were they on drugs? Most likely.
Oh, it's like, yeah. Mountains it's like, of drugs. Yes. Scorsese was on a mountain of drugs.
Yeah. And it was just, to me, that's the coolest thing is just to see like these bands play. Like I still watch the Led Zeppelin Song Remains the Same. It's I think that's such a cool thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen it so many times that I don't care to see it now, but you know, that's what I was kind of hoping for a little bit more was just like, you know, just maybe a little bit more of the behind the scenes stuff. But at the same time, man, the musicians are just amazing.
Yeah.
But
top notch.
Now that you bring up Song Remains the Same, nobody was packing a big old meat hog like Robert Plant.
But you know, Levon.
Yeah.
Was,
yeah.
Dude.
Yeah.
No.
I needed more tight pants.
I mean, he was sitting down for a reason.
I know. Mm-hmm. He was wearing two pairs of boxers. And it was like, I don't even.
Yeah. And you didn't see how the kick drum was being played. So it went with his feet.
Yeah.
Just on that note, real quick, I did go see Motley Crue one time. Tommy Lee did take his pants off. He was wearing two pairs of boxers.
Well, I think we all know that he has to. We've all seen
that. We know that he has to.
We've seen the tapes.
Yeah.
We have access to those.
Yes.
Very much looking forward to Get Back, Peter Jackson, Beatles, premiering later this week on Disney Plus.
Thursday or Friday?
Yeah.
I think it's Thursday. I think it comes out on Thursday.
Is it in like three segments? Or are they going to do Friday and then a Friday and then a Friday?
I think it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah.
Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Yeah. Three days in a row.
Two hours each.
Yeah.
And so just 6 hours. You know, the pictures just look amazing.
Yes.
The trailers, I'm just like, 4K. I was like, God damn it, Peter. And was like, your other movies suck, but how are you just like, well, is that Lord of the Rings?
Well.
Yeah. But I was like, how are you doing this? It looks beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, he also, I think he probably got this job because of the restoration job he did on
1912. What was that?
They Shall Not Grow Old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They Shall Not Grow Old. Yeah.
Which was mind blowing. That I mean, that's from like 1917, you know, and it looks like it was filmed last week.
Do we know why this documentary is just now coming out? If they recorded it then and they were like, this is going to be our documentary to record our legacy
for the Beatles? Well, they released the Let It Be movie, which is, I mean, 2 hours long. And supposedly they, I mean, after that, they had that ugly, ugly divorce when they broke up. I mean, it was like a bitter financial fallout. And none of them were eager to go back and watch. Because, I mean, supposedly, like, it's not in the Let It Be, but in this version, George quits for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And you're going to see that. He storms out and John Lennon proposes they hire Eric Clapton to replace him. A lot of fighting. Supposedly Peter Jackson, there's a lot of them getting along really well, and it kind of shows them in a different light. But I don't think they were eager. This was not a real pleasant time for them. And I don't think outside of Paul, I know John and George were not real stoked to have the cameras there. They weren't real pumped about being filmed. Yeah. So I think that's why it sat for years.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it though.
Yeah.
Ringo was just in the corner in his hamster cage, just like really enjoying his new ball.
Oh, I just want to play the drums.
Ringo.
What was it? The walk hard, the Dewey Cossack. I've got a song about an octopus. He's just happy to be there.
Yeah.
You know, he's just having fun.
All right. Final thoughts on The Last Waltz. We need to bring back double neck guitars.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah. That's
like, Jimmy Page did it, and he had one here. It was like a double. It was a mandolin and electric guitar, which didn't think that needed to be a thing.
No,
apparently but it does.
It's and again, real close to Spinal Tap. A lot, like you said, that's one turn of the dial, where it's like they show the Christopher Guest, like, and he's playing his guitar with a like rubbing the guitar on the not the bow, but the violin on the guitar.
Yeah,
and then he has one on the stand next to him. He starts kicking it like. And it starts like making distortions. Like that's very, very close to.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is there anyone who uses a double neck guitar anymore? Or any reason?
Nobody's
to?
Cool enough to do that right now.
I mean, it was really just Jimmy Page with
Jason Mraz and the 12 like, John Mayer. That's about
it. I don't think that's correct.
I think The Weeknd plays one.
Yeah.
I know that like back in the day, Jeff Beck I think had one. There were a couple people that had one.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, somebody from the fucking Eagles had one, but
somebody from like Sum 41
as well had one. I don't know, man.
Or El- just or,
a no, they would have been
straight for the Sum 41 documentary.
I fucked it up. Not Sum 41. It was LMFAO.
Everybody.
They are party rocking.
Yeah. As they do.
I'm waiting for that documentary.
Yeah. We'll see the Scorsese.
Yeah, Scorsese needs to step his game up here. We need some of the documentaries, Braj.
I'd like to see Scorsese do a Marvel film.
Mm.
Nut up or shut up.
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck her up.
Nut up or shut up?
Yeah, it's Zombieland.
Oh.
As long as it's Squirrel Girl, I'm down.
Squirrel Girl?
Okay.
Or Namor.
So. The Mariner?
Mm-hmm.
The Submariner.
Yeah. Travis just pushed up his glasses up the bridge.
We don't know his position.
Imperious Rex.
This has been another episode of Cinema Vino, and we thank you very much. So yeah, next we're going to do a little Ghostbusters mini pod and talk about that movie a little bit.
Mini pod?
And a mini Tide Pod. And we're going to do Get Back later this week with the Beatles. So
we're gonna
talk about that.
Get Back.
Exactly.
You bet your balls it's Neil Diamond.
So yeah, not with a bang, but with the whimper. Is that right?
You bet your balls it's Neil Diamond.
So we love you, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
Bye. Happy Thanksgiving.
To learn more about Cinema Vino, check out our website at cinemavino.net. You can also listen, rate, subscribe at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere you choose to listen to your podcasts. My movie reviews are available at ToddWoffordMovies.com.